Welcome to The Score, Fantasy Basketball Podcast, where you get great advice on how to stay ahead of your competition here in these fantasy basketball streets. Now, the dopest analyst in fantasy basketball, Waiver Wire Queen.
What's going on? Welcome to the Score Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm Waiver Wire Queen. Today we are going to talk about the Los Angeles Lakers and how they have been stinking it up this season and who is to blame. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. We have a lot of great content over there, especially on fantasy basketball. Let's talk about the Lakers. They have been stinking it up all season. They managed to beat the Warriors, but Warriors have been playing poorly as of late. Currently, the Los Angeles Lakers are ninth in the Western Conference with a record of 28-36. They are obviously well under 500, and that is terrible basketball. On the road, they are 9-20, and at home, 9-16, which means they pretty much have been stinking it up, whether it's at home or away. Ain't nothing gonna cure this terrible, poor play from the Los Angeles Lakers. They are 2-8 in the last 10, and they are on a one-game losing streak. They did manage to beat the Warriors on Sunday, well, on Saturday, so that was shocking, but I want to say the Warriors, I feel, gave that game away a bit more, but then the King was just on fire. 56 points. I mean, sheesh. Simply amazing. But the question is, what's wrong with the Lakers? I have a lot to say about what's wrong with the Lakers, and there are a lot of people who have a lot to say about what's wrong with the Lakers. Mainly, it's Russell Wilson. Obviously, it can't be Russell Wilson. Mainly, it is Russell Westbrook. Yes, they're saying it's all Russell Westbrook. Although Westbrook has been not the greatest this year, statistically, 18 points, 7.6 rebounds, 7.2 assists, 4 turnovers, 43% from the field. He hasn't played great. Had a few huge turnovers in that Warriors game. Yes, Westbrook is part of the problem. I'll give you the issues. Westbrook is part of the problem, not the huge part of the problem, but he is part of the problem. And then Pelinka's part of the problem. And I'll just say the Laker front office is part of the problem. And Anthony Davis's health is a huge part of the problem. And then the roster, which I'll say that is the front office issue. So let's look at the roster. You got Russell Westbrook, DJ Augustine just joined the team, Kendrick Nunn, Austin Reeves, Malik Monk, Avery Bradley, Wayne Ellington, Mason Jones, LeBron James, Talen Horton-Tucker, Stanley Johnson, Kent Bazemore, Trevor Ariza, Carmelo Anthony, Dwight Howard, Winyon Gabriel, and Anthony Davis. I'll start with Anthony Davis. Another injury plague season. When Anthony Davis is healthy and on the court, he is one of the best players in NBA, top five player on a season. When he is on the court, plays 35 minutes per game. He's averaging 23 points, 9.7 rebounds, 2.9 assists, 1.2 steals, 2.3 blocks, and he shoots over 53% from the field. So statistically, he's great. You know, he's amazing. But I always say health is wealth. Availability is very important. If you are a 20-10 guy and you are on the bench, then you have no value to my team because I cannot utilize your services because you're not available. And that has been one of the issues throughout Anthony Davis's career is his health. He's always hurt, you know, and that sucks. And what, last season played 36 games? He's never played a full 82 game season. And twice he got close with the Pelicans, 75-75, but other than that, just hasn't gotten there. And it's part of the problem, because when you have your second best player who's missing more than half of the season, do you expect to have a winning record? Do you expect to be top four in the Western Conference or competing for a championship? Hell no, you're not going to be competing for anything but losses, because one of your top players, top 10 player in the NBA, is not available. That is one of the biggest issues with the Lakers. Again, injuries are a part of the game, but goddamn, you'll be hurt every season. And most of the season, that's something you got to look at, some type of maybe a different offseason in regards to strengthening and conditioning and working out. Because if I'm the Lakers, I'll be very concerned about, once LeBron decides he wants to hang up his sneakers and retire, I'll be concerned if Anthony Davis is going to be my franchise guy going forward if he's unable to stay healthy. I'm almost want to say, if once LeBron is gone, just rebuild, because you don't know how healthy Anthony Davis is going to be. But hell, they don't even have draft picks, so can't rebuild. But again, this is what the Lakers are, and this is what they'll continue to look like, because they're not making great moves. I thought from the get-go the Russell Westbrook trade was not going to be a good trade. I didn't think he played well, that, you know, that core would have worked well together with Westbrook, James, and Anthony Davis. The best thing would have been to do is stop with this, I gotta have this so-called build and so-called big three, and just build a team. The trade, the players they should have acquired would have been the players that Sacramento was willing to give, because that would have given them 3-point shooting. It would have just been a more well-rounded team, and players who would have probably complemented each other better. But no, they want to swing for the big three. And I swear, early on in the season, they were ready to run off the court and move on from the trade, but you simply can't. And I guess at the trade deadline, allegedly, they could have acquired John Wall, and they would have had to give up Westbrook and a first. They didn't want to do it. I think that John Wall would have been a better complement to LeBron James instead of Westbrook. But Pelinka didn't seem to think so, or the Lakers front office didn't seem to think so. And again, just, you got to be able to evaluate talent, and some of the guys on the roster is just not, you know, at the level of where they are going to be able to help the Lakers compete on a nightly basis for playoff spots and championship games. So you're not going to win a championship with this roster, considering some of the other teams, like in the Western Conference. Phoenix, got Memphis, Warriors when they are playing well, Utah, Dallas, Denver, Minnesota. All of these teams are better than the Lakers. And it doesn't necessarily have to be because they have the better superstars. They have a better group. Players who play better together complement each other better. That's a part of it as well. You can't just sometimes throw players out there, especially if they just not that great. Not saying none of these guys aren't great, but the teams that I mentioned, their supporting cast are a bit better. And again, with me, the Lakers just not going anywhere this season, in my opinion. But LeBron James has been amazing and carrying a team, but LeBron's not going to be able to do, well, he can probably do 50 points a night, but come on now. Are we really asking him to score 50-something points every night so they can win games? That is just ridiculous. And they're going to have to evaluate the team. Some things that I feel they need to do this offseason is get rid of that front office and get you a better front office who's capable of making better decisions and bringing in better talent and making the moves to position your team to compete and win, I guess, like the Laker way. Because Laker fans just believe that because we are the Lakers and we have won so many years, we're supposed to get all the great players. No, you're not. And if your front office isn't capable of identifying the best talent, then you're most likely not going to win like what they're doing now. So again, front office got to go get another general manager in and get some better people in the front office to evaluate talent and bring in better players and make better moves. Honestly, I feel like Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook should be out the door. And I really do love Russell Westbrook's game, but it just doesn't complement LeBron James. And so that's part of the reason why I say Westbrook has to go. And Anthony Davis is simply because he's just not helping the team, because the majority of the time he's sitting in his business shoes instead of his basketball sneakers. So if I don't think there's a lot of team, there's just going to always be a team that may want to trade for him, but you got to understand that it's going to come with probably missing about 30, maybe even 40 games a year. So I wouldn't trade for him. But if I was the Lakers, I would try to see if I can move him. Those are the things they need to do to retool this team. You definitely can get some great value for Anthony Davis. And Westbrook, you're probably not going to be able to get great value, and you're going to have to give up a pick. But if the Lakers are in win now mode because you have LeBron James, who is close to 40, you approach the situation like you're in win now mode and make the necessary moves in order to position the Lakers to compete for a championship. But right now they're not. And that front office to me has got to go. It's time to get rid of them, clean house, and make those moves and identify some better younger players. Monk has played well this season. Horton Tucker has played well this season. You got players on the team that wasn't even on NBA teams a few weeks ago. So that should tell you a lot about what they got going on. Carmelo Anthony, at his age, is playing very, very well. But you're not supposed to be relying on that. That's supposed to be just extra. So those are the two guys I really like. Not a lot of these other guys on this roster are playing at a level to where they should be on the Lakers team, but you have no choice. So they're going to have to evaluate talent better and bring in better players. I know you don't have the funds, but again, I'm almost wanting to say is you got to make some trades, and you want to keep LeBron James because he's always your most valuable asset. But right now your most valuable asset is Anthony Davis, and he should be the first player that I am looking to move on from, because you can acquire some great assets. And then you got to think about the players that they traded in that Anthony Davis trade and see how these guys are doing. Brandon Ingram is still a good scorer. He's pretty much the same. That would have been better for LeBron right now. Obviously, Lonzo Ball has turned into a terrific guard, 3-and-D guard. Who would ever thought that his three-point shooting would have improved drastically? It has. He's very good three-point shooter now, and you know you got the defense. So right there, that's huge. Two very, very good young players who they should have never traded. But, you know, they ended up winning a championship in that bubble, which to me is kind of like a fluke considering everything that's going on now. But again, just imagine if they had those young players, I think they would be in a better position. Because again, when you don't have Anthony Davis available to play games, then you're not winning games because you don't have him anyway. So those two young players were huge in that trade. And I just say that it's time for them to really look in the mirror and make some decisions and decide that maybe it truly is time to move on and start over. Not really start over, but you know, you're retooling. And when you retool, you are retooling with players like bringing in some guys who can play the game of basketball, who's going to play very, very well and help your team win. Again, right now it's not happening. Also, another player in that trade who's playing very, very well, and that would have been another good player, is Josh Hart. Very good young player playing very, very good basketball this year. Those are some very good players that they got rid of. And again, you can't say, well, you got Anthony Davis. Well, he's not available. So, and we know Lonzo Ball, he's out with the knee issue, but for the most part, he's coming back. And what, Hart, 13.7 points per game, 7.4 rebounds, 4.1 assists, 1.1 steal. Yes, missing out on some very good players. And then with the Westbrook trade, Kyle Kuzma is having a career season. Kyle Kuzma is getting to play some basketball and play his game and not just, you know, stand around and watch. And he is producing, what, 17.2 points on the season, 8.7 rebounds, 3.4 assists. Damn. Well, how can the Lakers turn this thing around for this season? The biggest factor would be to hope that Anthony Davis can come back soon and he can remain healthy. I know there was some talk about possibly or allegedly having Westbrook come off the bench, but like, who are you really putting in the starting lineup anyways to play the point guard spot? Are we going with Bunk and DJ Augustine? Like, what are we really doing here? You know, he's struggling. The whole damn team is struggling. We going to put the whole team on the bench? What sucks is, yeah, and I know it's part of the game where, you know, the fans, you know, they're going to yell, they're going to say some things, but there's sometimes when we can cross the line, it's fans, and we got to understand that, you know, this is his job. It's entertainment for us, but it is his job. And so when you cross those lines, you know, players are human, so they're going to get frustrated, and they have a right to, especially if you're crossing a line and it's disrespect. So always respect the players, regardless of, you know, if you feel like you're a Laker fan or whatever team you support and your player is playing bad, yeah, you're going to boo them. But when you start crossing lines, that's just unacceptable. So it's unfortunate that Westbrook may have experienced a little bit of that. And that's just unfortunate. And again, it's unacceptable. Yes, he is playing not so good right now. But again, your whole team isn't. You need to boo the front office for the decisions that they have made, because they've put this team in this position with the roster that they built, because they envisioned this roster to be the roster that was going to take them to another finals. They got it wrong. Very, very wrong. And then again, they need to be looking at Anthony Davis just sitting there on the sidelines like, okay, how many seasons you going to just be sitting on the sidelines? Like, you got to change something so you can try to stay healthy. Just got to. But again, the injuries are part of the game, so it's unfortunate for him that he sustains several injuries at a high rate. But hopefully he can come back, because I feel like if he can come back, that's going to help them tremendously. But it's just a matter of like, how long is he going to stay healthy for the team? So that's one way the Lakers can improve their chances. And maybe if you do feel like you want Westbrook coming off the bench, you need to talk to him, make sure that's an in-house situation. If he's not willing to accept it, I mean, hey, I understand you're Russell Westbrook, but I'm the coach. This is what's going to happen. If you don't like it, you can just go home. Go home. You know, you got to do what's best for the team. I understand stars are stars, and they are the players in the game. But at the end of the day, as a coach, at some point it becomes, I'm not asking. I'm telling you, this is what we're doing. If that's what they truly want to do, then it's one of those things where you're going to just have to say, okay, this is what we're going to do. I'm not asking you if this is what you want to do. This is what we're going to do. But then again, they got to sell me on a player that's playing better. Like, let me look at the lineup for the Lakers and see what kind of a starting lineup can they trot out there if they move Westbrook to the bench. And this is without Anthony Davis because he is still out. I think Nunn should be a player that should have gotten some more burn, but he's out anyway. So I'm thinking about the lineup. They're playing this Austin Reeves guy a bit more. I mean, they're playing guys who just, you know, never even heard of them sometimes. So yeah, so if they do move Westbrook on the bench, you really don't need a true point guard in there because you have LeBron, who is pretty much a point. What I would do is, okay, we're going to go with Dwight Howard. Carmelo's going to start. We're going to go with LeBron. We're going to go with Malik Monk and Talon Horton Tucker. That hurts your bench, but then you got Russell Westbrook who can come off the bench with DJ Augustine, Stanley Johnson, and yeah, that's pretty much how it can go. That's the only lineup I see that can slightly be competitive. Other than that, it's just the team, the roster isn't good enough to say, Russell, we're going to put you on the bench for this person. Show me your starting lineup after that and sell us on that starting lineup. But yeah, the Lakers have some serious issues again with horrible play over the last few months. So pretty much all season, it's going to be hard to just turn it on and try to be that team that's coming out of the postseason and winning it all. It's just pretty much impossible for them at this point. They will be in the play-in tournament if they stay where they are. And they may not win. They're looking at playing against some teams that, you know, don't have a lot going for them, because with the Trailblazers, they don't have any of their top guys. They're pretty much in rebuild mode. Pelicans, they're playing some good basketball. And you don't want to play San Antonio because San Antonio just beat them. And San Antonio, to me, has a better team, and they have a better coach, and they're well coached. So they may not have the star power that people are used to hearing, but they have some very good players over there, young, very good young players. And I say if the Lakers were to meet them in a play-in tournament, the Spurs would beat the Lakers. So I don't know what to tell them. And then when you have DeJounte Murray, who's having a career year, who's always had that potential and is stepping up, yeah, I can see the Spurs beating them. The Trailblazers won't be able to beat them, and the Pelicans maybe. With Murray, he's damn near averaging a triple-double on the season and will get a triple-double against the Lakers. So, guys, we're just going to have to wait and see. Let me know what you think the Lakers should do to try to improve on this season, and then what do you think they should do during off season with that roster. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel because we have a lot of great content over there, especially if you enjoy looking at videos, and leave some comments and tell everybody about the Score Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Y'all have a great evening. Peace.
Thanks for listening to The Score Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to The Score for more fun and great advice on how to win at fantasy basketball. And if you've got comments or questions about The Score, send them to waiverwirequeen@gmail.com. The Score.